Becca is a fictional character, but what they went through is happening across West Midlands today. This is their story. In one of the most deprived constituencies in England, NHS mental health wards operate with expensive agency staff, while local people who want to train as nurses are turned away from courses that sit half empty. The Treasury calls this fiscal responsibility, but the real cost is measured in unfilled shifts and unmet need. Here's what Becca saw when she tried to become the nurse her community desperately needed.
I knew I wanted to be a mental health nurse from the day my gran looked at me and didn't recognise my face. She'd raised me while Mum worked her double shifts at Russell's Hall Hospital, and watching her disappear piece by piece made me understand what families go through when someone they love needs care that isn't there. I'd spent 3 years working retail after my A-levels, coming home to make sure Gran took her medication and remembering to hide the kettle so she wouldn't try to make tea at 3 in the morning. When she passed in 2019, I knew exactly what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. I wanted to be the person who could help other families navigate what we'd been through. I also wanted to perfect my nephew Jake's Spider-Man birthday cake recipe, but the nursing came first. The University of Wolverhampton accepted me onto their mental health nursing degree in spring 2019. I had my place, my student finance sorted, and I'd already picked out scrubs online. Then in July, I got a letter that made no sense. Health Education England told the university they could only fund 85% of their usual training places. My place was real, but the funding wasn't there. I was waitlisted and told to reapply the following year. I called the admissions office to understand what had happened. There is no funding, the administrator explained patiently. The Treasury has reduced Health Education England's budget, and we can only run the courses we can afford to fund. It sounded reasonable. Everything costs money. I understood that. I spent 2019 working at a care home in Netherton, watching agency staff come and go, while the permanent staff worked overtime to cover gaps. I reapplied to Wolverhampton for the 2020 intake. Same result, different year, same letter, same explanation. There is no funding for additional places. I was starting to wonder if I'd ever get my chance. By 2021, I was working as a healthcare assistant at Dudley Group NHS Foundation Trust. The mental health ward where I worked was chaos most days. We had 4 permanent nursing positions that stayed empty month after month because we couldn't recruit qualified staff. Instead, we used agency nurses who cost £350 a shift when a permanent nurse would earn £120 for the same work. I did the maths on my phone during breaks. We were spending £1,400 extra every day to staff 4 positions with temporary workers instead of training permanent ones. I asked Janice in HR whether there were internal training opportunities. She looked genuinely sorry when she explained their position. The Trust's education budget has been frozen. We cannot afford to run training programs right now. There it was again. That same phrase. No money, frozen budgets, spending constraints. Then I walked through the University of Wolverhampton campus to meet my friend Sarah for coffee. And everything clicked into place. The nursing school had 2 entire computer labs sitting empty. Not broken equipment or maintenance issues. Empty. Sarah worked in the estates department and she told me what she'd heard from the faculty. The labs were fully equipped and ready to use, but they couldn't run courses at full capacity because Health Education England's funding covered only 85% of the places they'd normally fill. I stood in the doorway of those empty labs and felt something shift in my understanding. Downstairs was a notice board covered in job adverts. The NHS was recruiting mental health nurses across the West Midlands. Excellent salary, immediate start, sign-on bonuses. Meanwhile, upstairs were training facilities sitting unused because someone in Westminster had decided there wasn't enough money to connect the empty seats to the vacant jobs. The mental health unit where I worked had 4 permanent positions they couldn't fill. They were spending £128,000 extra every year on agency staff to cover those same 4 roles. The university had the capacity to train people for exactly those positions, but the budget to do it had been cut. I started asking questions I'd never thought to ask before. If the people exist and the training facilities exist and the job vacancies exist, What exactly is it that there is no money for? The government that prints the notes and mints the coins was telling me it couldn't find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. But I could see with my own eyes that it wasn't the people or the facilities or even the jobs that were missing. It was the decision to fund the connection between them. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that issues the currency chose not to issue enough of it to fill the training places that would fill the job vacancies that would replace the agency nurses who were costing three times as much as the permanent staff we couldn't afford to train. None of that was about money. It was about priorities. The real question was never whether we could afford to train more nurses. It was whether the people existed who wanted to do the work. They did. I was one of them. Whether the facilities existed to train them. They did. I'd seen the empty computer labs. Whether the jobs existed for them to fill. They did. The vacancy board proved it every day. The excuse wasn't a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It was the same logic as a household saying we can't afford it, except a household doesn't issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the training places and the people who needed them. I finally got my place on the mental health nursing course in 2022. Not because the funding situation improved, but because enough other people had given up waiting. I'm in my second year now, working shifts on the same mental health ward where I started as a healthcare assistant. We still use agency nurses. We still have permanent vacancies. The empty computer labs are still empty most days. I understand now that what happened to me wasn't bad luck or natural scarcity. It was a series of political choices made by people who had alternatives. They chose to treat public investment as a cost to be minimized rather than as the means by which trained people reach the places that need them. And I understand that my story isn't unique to Dudley or to nursing or to healthcare. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare, when what they really mean is that they've chosen not to fill it.
What Becker experienced has a name: fake experts. This is when authorities cite economists or commentators who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident truth, as though repeating it makes it true. Think of tobacco companies in the 1960s funding scientists who questioned the link between smoking and cancer. The companies found credentialed experts willing to dispute the evidence, then cited these same experts as proof that the science was unsettled. The technique worked because people trusted the authority of the white coat, not the funding behind it. In Becker's story, every time someone said there is no funding, they were applying household logic to a currency issuer. When she questioned this, the response was predictable. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. But which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It doesn't need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources. People, skills, materials, time. In Becker's constituency, those resources were sitting idle. Empty computer labs, unfilled nursing positions, people ready to train. The resources existed, the people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Dudley ranks 94 out of 543 English constituencies on the deprivation index, placing it in the second most deprived decile. English Indices of Deprivation 20-25 MHCLG. The constituency has 929 registered charities, Charity Commission Register, England and Wales, and received £12 million in total grants, 360 giving Grant Nav Stud. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.